Clients do not know what they don't know. And so it is up to us to ask the right questions. That lets us be proactive about how their site is developed and create those opportunities for improving their workflow and adding features they hadn't considered. This is on our shoulders to think beyond the technical.
Right. And you have to really understand their site needs in relation to the answers. Like, can you extrapolate these business goals to technical solutions? All of these will lead to a better understanding as to whether a CMS upgrade or a migration to a new system makes more sense. From Bright Umbrella, this is Control ClickCast. We inspect the web for you. Today, Emily and I will discuss the whys and hows of upgrading or moving away from your content management system. I'm your host, Leah Alcantara, and I'm joined by my fab co-host,
Emily Lewis.
Today's episode is sponsored by Craft CMS. Along with the release of Craft 3 earlier this month, the team at Craft CMS is excited to announce Commerce 2 Beta. Commerce 2 has been completely rewritten for Craft 3 and includes subscriptions, extensibility improvements, payment gateway plugins, and more. You can download Commerce 2 as a trial through the Craft Plugin Store today. And to learn more about Craft CMS and Craft Commerce, visit craftcms.com. All right. I am very excited about this episode because we get asked about this a lot, and it's pretty much Bright Umbrella's specialty.
Yeah.
In the last part of our Demystifying the Web series, we tackled the importance of maintaining websites. Mm-hmm. And we touched on CMS upgrades and migrations briefly as one of the major ways you should maintain your site. And we'll link that in our show notes if you want a little overview. But CMS upgrades can get complicated quickly. Even CMSs with one-click updates like Craft and Statamic can get messy if you're not careful, especially if you don't update your CMS on a regular basis. Kind of like a car, right? So sure, you can ignore that oil change, the car will still run, but it might slow down and make funny noise.
And then all of a sudden, you've got to buy a new car. Right. And I think it's the same with CMSs. Maybe an upgrade isn't enough. Maybe it's time for a new CMS even.
Right. So how do you know if the newest version of the software your site is currently on is still serving your customers or serving your staff and admins? These are questions many of our clients and prospects ask us. Technology moves so quickly that when you decide to use something 5 or 3 or even 1 year ago, may not be working for your business anymore. But there are so many factors to this decision. Budget, of course, is the obvious one.
But then that introduces even more nuances. Maybe it's time to invest a bit more now to save more in the long run. Or maybe you were oversold on your CMS or had ambitions a few years ago you realize you can't pursue today. Or maybe you need to go to a simpler system or service to save you money or even staff headaches.
Right. Which is why we wanted to continue this discussion about CMS maintenance, upgrades, and migrations from a client-friendly perspective in this part one, to help our clients understand this process.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we hope other devs will get some tips on how to help their clients, how to uncover all the details and the not so obvious things that you need to know about, not just the technical aspects, but about your client's business in order to support them in an upgrade and a migration. And then later in part two, later this year, we'll get into the kind of technical nitty gritty of upgrading and migrations. So before we dive into analyzing whether to upgrade your current CMS or migrate to a new CMS, let's first talk about why you and I encourage our clients to upgrade or migrate.
Two major reasons: security and speed.
Yeah.
Upgrading your CMS to a more modern CMS can protect your website from bugs, hacks, and site crashes. If you use e-commerce for any reason on your site, you need to be on top of this. Mm-hmm. I recently had a conversation with a prospect who was on a really old version of Expression Engine, a version I knew that made them vulnerable to credit card theft, because I know of at least one incident where it happened. Mm-hmm. This was a 2013 version of that software.
And this is recent that you talked to this prospect.
Yes, this was as recent as last week. Of course, there was a fix for this exploit in newer versions of EE. Mm-hmm. But if you don't upgrade your site regularly, like this prospect, you could be sitting with a security breach literally waiting to happen. Not a what if, it's a when.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk to our clients about these options, we really try and put it this way. What's more expensive? Is it more costly to regularly update your CMS version, or to explain to your customers that their personal information was compromised?
Exactly. Now, I want to point out that no software is immune to hacking. We've talked about WordPress vulnerabilities here and on mm-hmm. our blog a lot. Drupal recently also had a very public vulnerability mm-hmm. that's considered highly critical. And even our fave CMSs can be targets. But a major way to fix or mitigate this is upgrading and updating your CMS on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, from clients to other developers, sometimes think these kind of exploits are exaggerated, but I'm kind of dumbfounded. Do you even want to take that risk?
Yeah, exactly.
Why take the risk? And the upgrade gives you more than just security. Newer versions of software have efficiencies that, for example, can massively speed up your site. And we've talked a lot about the importance of speed optimization on this show before, and I'll make sure we link to that in our show notes. But this July 2018, Google is finally adding mobile site speed as an official ranking signal. And I think even Terry hinted about this in our episode on Google Analytics last year, but now it's official.
Right. And a fast site is just more pleasant to use, mm-hmm. which is why fast sites convert. If you're serious about your site conversions, you should consider upgrading your CMS.
Mm-hmm. And while we've been talking a lot about upgrades, you know, everything we've said also applies to migrating from an old CMS mm-hmm. to a completely different brand new content management system. The situations when this comes up is really, you know, maybe your current CMS is super clunky and your staff dreads logging in to make changes to the site. Or it's really hard to update content, or maybe your staff have a new campaign and they can't customize the site to work with that campaign.
Right.
Maybe the staff has high turnover, a lot of volunteers, and the interface is super confusing. So either it takes a lot of time to train them or they don't use it in the first place.
Right.
We've encountered the situations where the only way our clients can update their system is to be like a master, that front end dev,
right.
or contact IT or other vendors. And that just starts getting expensive. And then there's even where the system they have is like super complicated and not at all intuitive.
Right. Like they have to memorize where things are as opposed to actually just look at the interface and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, that's where that widget thing is.
Uh-huh. Those are all like good cues that it might be time for a migration.
Right. Or maybe your system is so old that the cost to upgrade is about the same.
Yeah.
Right. As rebuilding it from scratch. So why not look at new software?
Right.
See what opportunities you have to really maximize your site to serve your business.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the bottom line is if your current CMS is holding you back, it may be time to move to an entirely new system. And we actually did a little blog post on that. 3 signs it's time to move to a new CMS, and I'll make sure we link to that in our show notes.
Really, you know, at the end of the day, is your site providing the ROI you need for your business to succeed?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is exactly what one of our clients recently explored, and we ultimately moved them from a really old version of Expression Engine to something like Kraft.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think was interesting, kind of looking back, that EE system was super customized.
Right.
Like, super. And at the time, and this was pretty old, I think it was 5 years old by the time we assumed it, and then we managed it for almost 2 years.
Right.
But it was super customized, which I think at the time was necessary, but staff Right. turnover had happened and marketing needs had changed. And the system was something where by the time, the months leading up to their migration, Leia, weren't we getting like an email a day from their webmaster saying, how do I do this? How do I add a link? You know,
right.
it was so no longer intuitive for the current staff that they had. but it was such a massive system. It was a multi-site manager running five different systems, plus all of that customization. And so upgrading was, it was a much more complicated thing, which is why migration really became a topic.
Right. And all the things that you pointed out too, what was interesting was a lot of those things weren't even necessary or used anymore.
Yeah.
So there were sections and sites and pages and plugins that was just taking up resources.
Custom PHP.
Yeah. Oh. Just taking up resources and just pointing out that the years and years ago when it first launched, those things were necessary, you know, at the time, because the plugins and the development software just was not at a point that that functionality existed. But as we all know, the web matures, functionality and people's features and requests, you know, mature and also kind of standardize. So those features just get either built into the CMS itself, and then you can just use it out of the box, or plugins get more sophisticated so that there's newer, you know, ways to do the exact same thing faster, better, easier, cheaper. But if you don't upgrade, update, keep on top of that on a regular basis, then what you're doing is just working on five-year-old software that is just chugging along.
Yeah. And it gets expensive. I mean, the other thing about deciding to upgrade versus migrate is that when you get into those really old systems that were highly custom 5 years ago, and staff has changed and needs have changed, and so those customizations don't suit the needs, that as you start trying to meet your new needs, you're having to work with a really old, clunky system. Development time takes longer. Add-ons aren't even supported for the current version you're in, so it's sort of questionable whether you want to leverage them or build something custom. And it just becomes complicated. And so again, this is about ROI. And I feel like with the client that we moved from an EE version 2 to Craft, we could have stayed in EE.
Right.
But that ROI thing really came up, because I think they're going to constantly be in that situation of staff turnover. In fact, we found out last week a key marketing person changed.
Right.
And so what Craft offered them for their current needs and kind of projecting down the road was just a lot more flexibility in a cheaper way than we could accomplish for their needs with EE.
Right, exactly. And I also want to emphasize that the ROI also includes time. So there's cost associated, of course, in dollars, but you know, saving time really leads them to save money.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially staff time. I mean, it was giving the staff control over their CMS to the most nth degree we've ever done for a client ever before.
Maybe a little too much, maybe in retrospect, a little too much. But this gave us the opportunity for them to really actually think about not just about the technical aspects, but what do they need to get out of this website? Like, what are their actual goals? Which leads us to, how do you know whether an upgrade or migration is right for your business or your client's business? So for our clients, we start with a CMS audit. Depending on the scope of the site, this can actually be pretty simple. Minimally, you should always start off with an inventory, a CMS inventory. And this could just be a spreadsheet that lists everything about your current setup. Software versions, the server setup, associated add-ons, and age of installed items.
And we keep this as like a template that we kind of, like all the assets that we create to help us run projects, we maintain as templates and literally maintain them. They don't just sit in isolation. After an audit, we revisit them and see if something needs to be changed. So this isn't 100% starting from scratch, which obviously is going to save us time, also ensure that we're making sure we're covering all of our bases for this process, and saves the client time in the project.
Exactly. And that way you're starting with data, right? Like, you know what you have to work with, and it gives you an at-a-glance view of the state of your site. So that's the really, really simple summary of that. But we also recommend checking for newer versions of the CMS add-ons. You know, are they still being updated? Is this an active system with a robust community? Is there an abandoned plugin? And if so, is there an easy alternative? And of course, cost. Are there extra software license costs to upgrade? I think that's something we have to really emphasize with clients, because just because they paid for it 5 years ago doesn't mean that they'll have unlimited lifetime updates to that software.
Yeah, and not just the core CMS. You know, this applies equally to add-ons. Sometimes add-on costs to upgrade as well.
Right, exactly. And then on the other hand, do you need custom coding in order to upgrade? And if so, is it a simple tweak that can be easily added? You know, just like a little line change in a plugin, for example? Or are we talking completely recode of the functionality, you know? And then when I say that, is the upgraded version of the software compatible with your current hosting configuration?
Right.
Right? Because you could be like, okay, so this plugin works with this CMS, but does your host actually match all of that? You know, sometimes newer versions of the CMS demand newer hosting software versions too. Mm-hmm. So for example, Kraft 3 requires PHP 7. It's no longer an option, right? And the reason being is that that makes their code a lot more lean and efficient, right? Mm-hmm. As well as faster.
Right. So there's a benefit to it, but as you're putting this sort of inventory together and gathering these costs, don't forget about the hosting.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I have. Yeah, remember exactly. When we had to move this controlclickcast.com site and we have some old plugins still on there and it was incompatible with PHP 7. I had to go through all of them and just make, it wasn't too difficult. I had to make a few line changes, but there was a lot of errors when I first did that update. So make sure you check.
You know, you mentioned this very ControlClickCast site. I find it so ironic we're having this conversation about you really need to keep your system upgraded and we are on such an old version.
I know. Well, okay, people, we're on it. We are on it.
We are in the process of updating both the front end of the site and the back end. So
yeah, absolutely.
Maybe by the end of this year. Anyways, though, I do think that asking these technical questions gives you the baseline scope for your client's current system. And then that allows you to start estimating the cost and level of effort. Because you can't decide whether to upgrade or migrate just based on, oh, we really like this CMS. There needs to be some sort of cost benefit as well as the business goal benefit. So we start with this inventory and then we take it another step further because you really do need to evaluate more than just maybe the existing system they're on. So you want to do a comparative analysis.
Exactly. So usually our clients have another CMS in mind and they ask us whether that makes sense for them. That makes it easy to know what systems to compare, right? But at this point, this is where your expertise as the expert comes in. If you're tech agnostic like we are, you should have a few options for them to contemplate. But to keep it simple, choose one to compare to keep this analysis more focused and cost effective. Mm-hmm. There's hundreds of CMSs to choose from, and it would be impossible to compare them all.
You know, before we get into that comparative analysis, it occurs to me that maybe we should talk a little bit about the cost of this effort
right.
for us as the agency and for the client, how people run their businesses up to them. But this is beyond just putting together a sales estimate.
Right.
And so this is something that we typically charge our clients like a flat rate to do what we call a CMS audit. And we have like different levels of these and depending on where the client's budget is and needs are. But this isn't something that we're doing for free. It has a tremendous amount of value. Our final recommendations and findings, including the comparative analysis, is something that they can take with them and do whatever they choose with, you know, take it to another vendor, do it in-house, you know, proceed with us. But this is beyond just sales. So I think that's important to mention because if you're doing this level of inventory and auditing for a client in order to upgrade them, the upgrade isn't just what you should be getting paid for or the migration if it's that. It's also the time and energy that you're putting into this process.
Absolutely. The analysis, right?
Yeah. And I think that's a little bit hard to always feel that way. But you and I try and keep ourselves to a certain budget on these. You know, if it's a flat rate thing that we're offering a client, then we really try and limit it. Like Leia was saying, try two systems to compare. Don't try to do 10. That's going to increase all of the time you're spending on it. And it's probably not even worth it in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the cost and benefit, right?
Yeah. All right. So to do that proper comparative analysis, it's really important that you're not just comparing whether there's similar functionality to the CMS they currently have. It's really about seeing if the other system can do a better job or offer more features for them to improve their site, which really comes down to site discovery. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're fortunate enough to do this before the inventory because that's the ideal scenario. Mm-hmm. But some clients really want this technical comparison before thinking about how the rest of it fits their needs. And then I think it's worth stating, if you did go through your initial audit, that inventory, and everything came down to a really simple, straightforward upgrade, maybe some additional costs, we don't go down this route of discovering comparative analysis. We just get the upgrade scheduled because most of our clients, actually all of our clients, are budget focused. So right. To go down the path of a migration really only makes sense if the upgrade starts getting really complicated and costly.
Right.
So when the migration looks like a viable option, we want that technical comparison and we start diving into discovery.
And what's interesting about a CMS discovery is that even with a long-term client, you kind of have to go back to the beginning of the relationship. Mm. And you start with a questionnaire.
Yeah.
Because it gives an opportunity for everyone to clarify their understanding of their organization as well as their site. Mm-hmm. For ours, we break our CMS discovery questionnaire into key groups. We have more than these groups, but here are the most obvious. One, core functionality and features, like, does this do what our client needs it to do? Digital marketing priorities. Does the marketing team need on-the-fly landing pages, maybe regional content for those pages? Content and customization options. How customized does the page styling really need to be? Mm-hmm. Then, of course, third-party integrations. Does this need to talk to Salesforce or MailChimp or other APIs? And we create this questionnaire in Google Docs and share it with our clients so they can answer in line. This allows us to collaborate on the document and easily comment and change specifics with history tracking.
Mm-hmm. And if it's a new client, we'll send them our base questionnaire with a few tweaks. Like I mentioned earlier, we have templates for all of our processes. One of these is a base questionnaire. But if it's an ongoing client, we really customize to what we know to be our client's particular needs. We have a few posts on these CMS discovery questions, and we'll link to that in our show notes. But there are a couple that a lot of developers forget to ask. They seem simple, but they're often overlooked. First is, what are your business goals for the web? Isn't about technical stuff. This is about the business. And though we are providing a technical service, we really need to understand those goals for that service to meet those goals.
Right.
And then the other question that we've only just started making sure that we have a good, clear picture of this is, how does the website fit into the overall marketing?
Right.
And I'm not just talking about, oh, we include share buttons or we have maybe a MailChimp subscription thing. Even bigger, you know, there may be opportunities to integrate systems to improve their workflows when they receive contact inquiry on the site. Maybe that needs to go into some other system. And having a bigger picture of things, we can also better evaluate the technical aspects that can meet those needs.
Absolutely.
And for a lot of our existing clients, we actually answer some of the questions ourselves. It's mostly because we want to verify that what we know is true, but it also gives us a chance to showcase how well we know their needs.
Yep.
Like, while this is an analysis, this is a sales tool. We do want them to upgrade. You know, we want to show them we know exactly who they are and what they need, and we're going to get them where they need to go.
Right.
But it also allows them to correct us if our assumptions are wrong. And it gives everyone a single place to refer back to for our ongoing discussions about their CMS. It almost becomes the scope document.
Right, absolutely.
And oftentimes, a lot of conversations about the project and goals and needs are happening in Basecamp. So we'll often link to those threads in the questionnaire. So there's a kind of a integrated reference point.
Absolutely. You know what's funny is that these questions can actually confuse a client.
Yeah.
And what's funny, it's not the technical questions that confuse them. It's the business questions. And in fact, it confused the client we mentioned earlier. They had to ask us why we need to know more about their marketing goals on top of their technical questions, understanding the why of it all. And here it is. It's a common misconception that upgrades or migrations, they're just technical in nature. That is a misconception. It can be an opportunity for you, for us as a web partner, to advise clients on how to better use tech for their business. So, for example, if you talk to a marketing team about a campaign, they might want to have landing pages with high resolution photography. And the goal is improving brand perception and for visitors to see these photographs in all their glory, but fast, because their customers visit the site on their phone, right? Notice the most technical thing I mentioned there was that the photos were high res. Internally, I might consider a CDN and image compression options that doesn't degrade the image, but the discussion doesn't necessarily mean me bringing up AWS or whether we need a specific plugin. By being generic in the solution, we can be flexible in how it's executed and not boxed in when it's time to execute.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Not boxing yourself as the developer, as the agency partner in. You never know what you're going to find. How many times have we gotten into these systems? You know it's an upgrade, but we find something completely unexpected. If we haven't been too prescriptive about the solution, then we can be flexible in how we fix it. You know, I think everything you just said, Leah, just really reiterates why we did the demystifying series last year, is that it's really not about getting into the technical. It's really about understanding the business goals.
Right.
It's the exact type of conversation and approach that we have, not just for an upgrade or migration, but choosing a CMS in the first place.
Right.
Or when you get a branding project, you're not talking to them about what their final printer needs are. You're talking to them about what their goals are. And the thing is that clients do not know what they don't know. And so it is up to us to ask the right questions. That lets us be proactive about how their site is developed and create those opportunities for improving their workflow and adding features they hadn't considered. This is on our shoulders to think beyond the technical.
Right. And you have to really understand their site needs in relation to the answers. Like, can you extrapolate these business goals to technical solutions? All of these will lead to a better understanding as to whether a CMS upgrade or a migration to a new system makes more sense.
And I just want to go back to that last point. Can you translate those business goals to technical solutions?
Right.
Because if you have a moment of being like, I'm not sure I can do this, then that's a beat to also say, should I be bringing a partner in to help with this? And that also changes the whole conversation about what direction you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we've done all that discovery, and that's in part in service to do that comparative analysis that we talked about earlier. And so for us, we approach it internally. And then there's what we show the client. And that's a really important distinction. So we have that CMS inventory that Leo was describing. And that's primarily an internal asset that gives us a sense of, you know, like Leah said, the plugins and costs and maybe even hosting considerations. The CMS discovery question is client facing because that's that collaborative document that Leah was talking about. But then internally, we also create a few more spreadsheets that help us calculate the scope of an upgrade versus a rebuild. And this is going to help with that comparative analysis.
Right.
So when we're talking about defining that upgrade scope, we break down what add-ons to keep and upgrade, what add-ons to replace with other add-ons, what add-ons that are now completely unnecessary because the new upgraded CMS has that new functionality built in. Maybe there are add-ons that need to replace with custom development code, and whether that code is PHP or some fancy Ajax JavaScript or even additional CSS and front end, kind of that can get really big. So you want to make sure you identify that.
Right.
And not even just what add-ons need to be replaced with custom development, but just what custom develop is needed. I'm thinking of the client we're talking about earlier, who had the Active Directory integration
right.
we needed to provide. And that's not an add-on that's out there. So it needed to be custom developed. General development changes that just support implementing that newer development in the CMS. And then, you know, we break down the pros and cons of an upgrade with what we gathered from the discovery. Taking into consideration staff time, especially if we're dealing with a large team, as well as the server requirements that need to be considered.
Yeah, I think that's really important to reemphasize here. The staff time.
It's so big. It can be so big.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where even when there is a perfect technical solution, let's say, like I was just thinking about some of the performance recommendations that we had. Mm-hmm. Well, if staff don't have the time or bandwidth to be checking to clear the caches or understanding renaming conventions and making sure that it's synced with the CDN and then training that and then there's staff turnover. At the end of the day, okay, maybe that would give a better technical solution to their problem, but
yeah,
it wastes them time and money.
And they get frustrated.
Exactly. So you have to balance the benefits. And I remember that launching this technical solution would only like shave off certain millisecond kind of situation. So it did speed them up, but I mean, the extra hour plus more of their staff on an ongoing basis to make sure they saved that millisecond didn't really make sense.
So yeah, you do have to do that pros and cons, looking not just at the technical, but the impact to the staff. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And then for the migration, the breakdown is different because it's basically starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we outline what can you develop natively in the new CMS. So no extra add-ons, commercial or free needed to do what the site needs to do. And as a developer, this should be your baseline. You should try to do everything as natively as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Then what add-ons are needed to have necessary functionality and whether it's free or at an added cost, right? Mm-hmm. And then just like the upgrade, what's custom development is needed overall and what type? Also important, what can't we accommodate in this new CMS?
Right.
And is it important?
Oh, yeah. I think about all the times that we would find something in the new CMS and we're like, I don't even know if, do we even need this? Do you guys use this anymore? So many things turned out to not even be important.
Right. It was majorly scaled down. Like I remember with this particular client, we started with all these granular permissions with specific members. And then in the end, they're like, okay, here are the admins. Here are the editors. We're done.
Yeah. Two levels. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it started off like these crazy levels. And then this one individual person needed to do this. And we're like, okay. And then in the end, when we kind of start giving them that, they were like, you know, pull back.
Mm-hmm,
you know, they just didn't have the bandwidth for that.
Yep.
And just like the upgrade pros on the migrating and rebuilding the site in a new CMS as well as the cons.
Mm-hmm.
And also like the upgrade, notes on staff time as well as server requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'd like to point out these questions are also relevant if you want to stay in the same CMS, but are considering the difficulty of upgrading versus building it from scratch.
Right.
Yeah, I was just reviewing some of our notes from that episode with Sean Maida about EE upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
And all his quote upgrades, that the majority of them aren't actually a quote regular upgrade path. They're still in the same system. So technically it could be considered an upgrade, but it was actually a rebuild. Because in the end, the recoding it was faster for them than going through the check this, check that kind of process, right?
And isn't that what we've so far decided for the Control Click Cast CMS is that we want to move to EE4, but we're not upgrading. We're
going to
build that stuff from scratch.
Yeah, we're going to rebuild it. But I also want to emphasize that that's not always the case, right? Like for our other client, the lawyer website, because their needs are simple, it was just a straightforward upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
There was no rebuild necessary, just regular upgrade tweaks here and there, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like that move, what was that, from EE2 to EE3 for that client?
Yeah.
I felt like the biggest amount of effort was actually updating their user manual because it was such a major interface change.
Right. Yeah, that was one of the biggest things. And I think one of their add-ons, and that was it.
And that makes me just think that it's worth mentioning, don't forget about documentation and training. those costs should also be considered when you're thinking about an upgrade for a migration. There may be an assumption that migrating to a new system is going to be far more training and far more, you know, user manual creation. But if you're upgrading within a CMS to a different version that's majorly different than previous ones, you could be doing the same amount of training and user manual documentation.
Right. Fortunately for this client, we didn't have to redo training. We just updated the documentation.
Oh, she's so bright. She's just, you know, picks everything up so quickly. She's a great client.
Right.
So these things that we were just talking about in terms of defining the upgrade scope versus the migration scope, that's all internal.
Yeah.
That's not stuff we're going back and forth with the client on at all. For our clients, the most important point of the analysis is their goals and what they ask for and our overall recommendation. And then we break that down in bullet point form, the various pros and cons of each of the technical solutions.
And we also like to break down the CMS's main benefits with the type of features the client is looking for. And then we rank it from okay to excellent, all in a table.
Where did we get that idea from? I feel like we saw that somewhere. Was it Masuga?
No. It was one of the other major web development firms. We'll link to it. We attribute it in our slides.
Yeah, it's a nice little chart that I think clients love. Simple, easy to understand charts. And it kind of does that in a very simple way.
Right.
I do think it's really challenging to, from all of this information, is figuring out the value versus the cost.
Yes.
Sometimes the solution is more expensive up front, but less expensive in the long run for time and money. But sometimes the less expensive solution is better because the client really only needs like a static site. And so maybe Statamic or Squarespace is better than, say, a full-blown custom Drupal or Expression Engine or Craft site. And sometimes, you know, when we do this comparative analysis, the options are pretty comparable.
Right.
In one of our CMS discovery projects, the technical came down to pretty equal. And they just ultimately chose user experience, their user experience as site admins using the CMS over the technical features that the other CMS offered. And that was because that was their priority.
Right.
And while we've been talking about clients and their goals, I mentioned this earlier, but we need to consider what's better and easier for us to develop because that also affects timeline and cost. It should be considered secondary to the client needs, but even something like Leah, Rachel mentioned this on her episode with us about project management a couple episodes back. And she said, if you find that you're going to dive into something you haven't done before, maybe you offer your client a discount for going in with you on it, you know, a 10% off the top. So you knowing that in advance can be a selling point even.
Right.
Not just something to make you not move forward, but something to give your client extra incentive for going in that direction.
Absolutely. And since you brought up money, if budget is truly the main focus, then you need to scale down everything.
Oh,
again,
yeah.
Even with all this information, you will understand what is ideal. But budget is also a factor to consider.
Mm-hmm.
But an upgrade or a scaled down rebuild is much better than deciding to stick to an old, slow and insecure system. So if they're like, oh no, that cost is not what I expected, then just scale it down. It's better to upgrade or scale down or rebuild than sticking to something that's old.
Oh, yeah. It never pays off.
No.
It never does. We have a client who's been on a system for years and years and years, and I really hope someday they move to a newer system. But every request they ask for costs them so much more than it needs to just because it's such an outdated system.
Yeah, absolutely. And if user experience is the focus, sometimes you have to spend more time on choosing a system that is super easy to use, even if all the technical features are better elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's going to be difficult for a developer to wrap around, but if UX is the focus, that should be the focus of your comparison, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It might be frustrating knowing what the technical drawbacks are, but the reality is that non-technical people will use these systems at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so make sure when you're comparing CMSs for a migration that you focus on what your client needs the most. Remember, the client isn't you,
mm-hmm.
right? And sometimes the budget and requirements actually dictate choosing a less than ideal CMS.
Mm-hmm.
But As a dev, you have to make it clear to the client the pros and the cons.
Mm-hmm. And you as a dev need to have the mindset that technical is just as important as budget, which is just as important as the client staff experience. Like, these factors all are equally important. Even though we're coming from that technical perspective, we need to understand that those things are ranked just as importantly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So let's go ahead and wrap up this episode with a few quick tips and thoughts about upgrades and migrations. We've been talking a lot about the in-depth analysis, but sometimes there's just some obvious points to mention.
So number one, upgrade if your client site is uncomplicated. Right. Kind of mentioned that a little earlier. That means they're not using strange content hierarchy and relationships. They have limited use of add-ons, or the add-ons are all actively updated and they're happy with the user experience. Just mm-hmm. upgrade.
Yeah. Sometimes we're tempted to move a client to a new system just because we like it. But if after going through this process, if we really can't ourselves justify why they need to go to that new system, then why should we tell the client to do that and pay you right. for it? It's about the client's ROI every time, always.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Then try to get your client on a maintenance plan so mm-hmm. they upgrade on a regular basis.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, exactly. This will keep their site secure and fast. All right. So what else do you think is a quick tip about CMS upgrades or migrations, Em?
Make sure your client does a content cleanup as part of this process, deleting old members, deleting old content, and on a regular basis, because it's going to make their site more lean and preparing their site for migrations, because that will have to be done no matter what.
Right.
It's a huge part of even an upgrade is to clean up data so we're not moving massive amounts of data that aren't even used or right. necessary anymore. Right. It saves us time, which saves them time and money. And not only that, how many times do we get the, well, I went into this channel and it didn't do anything. And we looked at it and we're like, well, that's because you guys don't use that channel anymore. And someone just left it there, right. you know? So it saves also the confusion that staff encounter with a really old system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else, Leah?
Before we move on, I just want to step back and talk a little bit about some of the tips that you mentioned. Like the deleting old members, come on, that's a security issue too.
Oh, right. Totally. Staff too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Staff and security issues. Don't share passwords, people. Mm-hmm. Especially if you do have staff turnover, delete old members, have a process for that in place with deleting old content. Also, just because a client says, okay, we've never touched this before.
Right.
Don't just willy-nilly delete it. Double check as the developer that isn't being used anywhere else, right? So just because they haven't touched it doesn't mean the content actually isn't being used. They're just not updating it. It might actually be like something in a sidebar widget and all of a sudden it's gone. And that's something that I've had to fix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when we did that migration, I've had to answer that question, Leah, what happened to this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to re-review because it was one of those things where, oh, they don't really update it or touch it, but they needed it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things of having the distinction between the client has a sense of what they use and don't use, but you can't go 100% just on the questionnaire answers. Like,
right.
You have to follow up and dive in a little bit further to validate what they said. So
right.
it's not just going cold off of their answers.
Right. Exactly. So like, again, you're the one who built the site or, it, you know, has taken over the site. So even if they say this isn't needed or this doesn't need to be touched or whatever, verify that mm-hmm. that's true, especially, you know, with complicated relationships and multiple sites in one system.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes certain things are managed in one place and then they forgot that it's being pulled in that other site.
And that's hugely common for systems that one themselves are old, but for organizations that have high staff turnover,
right?
You know, just people get disconnected from why something was built because maybe it was built for one person and their particular workflow and their particular job description. And now that job doesn't even exist anymore. So,
right.
So yeah, this is really, really common. But if you get your client to be on a maintenance plan, this is a regular thing you're monitoring and cleaning up. And so it just becomes like balancing your checkbook if anyone does that or whatever, you know, just keeping on top of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else come to mind?
For me, I think if the client is already going to redesign.
Right? Oh, like a visual redesign?
Yeah, like there's going to be, we're changing some brand or we've changed the layout or they're hiring you to change the layout and all that fun stuff. If there's room in the budget, you should strongly consider a rebuild or migration, especially if you're on an old system. A redesign usually signals a need to improve overall site use, not just by the visitor, but the staff in order to serve that visitor, and a business need to improve site conversions, right? Like they're like, okay, we need to make this landing page better. We need to change the flow of the site. Well, how does the CMS help make that happen as best as possible? And is the system that you're using going to make that easy for your admins and your client?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's also worth mentioning our episode with Ben Furphy.
Mm. Do you even need?
Yeah. There's also just the bottom line reality. This may be less so for large, complex systems that need to stay large and complex, but if you have inherited a client or maybe you put that client on a system that they just have not really ended up using, maybe they don't even need a CMS in the first place. Right. And that should really be part of your discussion.
Right. Exactly. You want to continually provide your value and your professional opinion for these types of things. And then that builds trust and then ongoing work as well.
Yeah, right? Totally. So I think that takes us to the end of this episode. We've got a few dev questions from our listeners out there about upgrades and migrations, and we have tons of advice on how to do upgrades and migrations. So we're going to tackle all of that in a part two later this year.
Absolutely. But before we finish up, we've got our rapid fire 10 questions, and this time I'm put on the spot.
I thought for sure you were going to sucker me into this one.
No, I thought I'd go easy.
Okay, Leia. What's your go-to karaoke song?
I feel like I've answered this before. Longtime listeners, it's No Doubt. Don't Speak.
What advice would you give your younger self?
My advice to give my younger self? God, I should have really actually thought about this considering I signed this to myself. You know, be a lot more proactive.
Mm.
I think there was a lot of reactive things. Like I put myself in positions for success in my career, and this is where I am now because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I think this is also true with what we're doing with Bright Umbrella, just being more proactive about getting certain
what we want
opportunities and being clear about what that means as opposed to, hey, this is like a cool situation. I'm just going to put myself in this cool situation,
but there's no,
and see what happens, but there's no like real specific direction as to why. It's just more like, this feels cool and fun.
All right. What's your favorite PG rated curse word?
Dang.
Dang.
Yeah. I say like dang a lot. Yeah.
You texted me that.
Yes, I know. I know. It is. It's my favorite PG rated curse word.
All right. Who's your favorite superhero?
Man, this varies all the time, but I'm going to say Sailor Moon.
Okay. All right. I have to ask an ignorant question. So she is a superhero, like powers and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's the princess of the moon.
Okay. Obviously, I need a little tutorial.
She fights evil by moonlight, wins love by daylight.
Okay, excellent. What's your favorite time of year?
Fall.
If you could change one thing about the web, what would it be?
Certain people should be banned from the web.
Yeah, straight up. Mm-hmm. A ban button.
Yeah, yeah. Like for life.
What are three words that describe you?
Sassy. Smart. And enthusiastic.
I agree with all. What about three words that describe your work?
Passionate, meticulous, and fulfilling.
All right. What's your favorite meal of the day?
Dinner.
And last question, coffee or tea?
I'm a tea person.
Yeah, I was thinking about this myself. I don't think I've seen you drink coffee very much.
No, like coffee to me is almost like a dessert. For me, like, it's not like I'm anti-coffee. I like coffee cake. I like mocha in dessert and stuff like that, but I don't like drinking it.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode. Be sure to check our show notes for all of the resources we mentioned today.
Control Click is produced by Bright Umbrella, a web services agency invested in education and social good. Today's podcast would not be possible without the support of this episode's sponsor. Many thanks to Craft CMS.
We'd also like to thank our hosting partner, ArchTech.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you want to know more about Control Click, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Control Clickcast or visit our website, controlclickcast.com. And if you like this episode, please give us a review on Stitcher or Apple Podcasts or both. Links are in our show notes and on our site.
Don't forget to tune in to our next episode when Tim Bard-Lavins joins the show to chat about fostering diversity in design leadership. Be sure to check out controlclickcast.com/schedule for more upcoming topics.
This is Leah Alcantara.
And Emily Lewis.
Signing off for Control Clickcast. See you next time.
Cheers.